Sometimes feel like, oh my God.
Hey, welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
We opened the entire thing up with Critical Hit by MC Frontalot. Thanks again for hanging out with us. I can't remember if we...
Did we do one last week?
We recorded last week. Yeah, we recorded. Okay, yeah, and it awesome. Did air. This was a little bit late, but it wasn't so late that if you didn't
that
stick
no
around.
One heard us.
Yeah, you heard. And it's going to be on site anyway. This is a show we drop nerd and geek knowledge on you every week. That's Wednesdays from 9 to 10 p.m. Hopefully that's when you're listening to it. But if you don't listen to it from Wednesdays 9 to 10 p.m. on KSLU, you can catch us on our website where all of our audio, news, reviews, and witty banter, let's just be real.
Witty banter.
Can be heard. Bear, what is the website?
You can go over to exppoints.com. Remember to double tap the P.
If you don't want to do that, or if you want to get some social media in your life, our social media landing page at exppoints.com/social. That's Facebook, Google Plus, YouTube, Steam Community, and Twitter. We're also streamable on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcast Music Play Services.
Wow, that one's complicated.
And then, of course, directly from the website. So that's always fun. We've got a pretty good packed I feel show for you.
I feel show.
No, we have a good show tonight. It's good, but it's subjective and relative. So maybe it's not good. Maybe it's bad.
I mean, I think it's good.
Regardless, we are going to kick it off with two songs. This is GEEK, Culture is Dead by Kirby Crackle, followed immediately by Welcome to the Breakdown by I Fight Dragons. Bear.
What?
We'll catch you after the break on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU, still Experience Points, I'm still MG.
And I am always Red Bear.
That was Welcome to the Breakdown by I Fight Dragons. Not brand new, but not super old I Fight Dragons.
Well,
and
I
before
Fight Dragons
that,
is always good.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. And before that, it was GEEK, Culture is Dead by Kirby Crackle. Let's talk about what we did last week, since we only have 1 week of stuff to go through.
I know, that's getting crazy.
I guess, Bear, I'll let you start. Wow. What did you do?
Did they even sleep? I mean, I felt like we just recorded.
You had all this time to do things. What things did you do or didn't you do?
I actually played a lot of board games this past week.
Board games? Were you bored playing those board games?
I was not bored playing those
board
games. What
board games did you play?
I played a ton of them. Basically,
a metric ton or just like a metaphorical ton?
No, always use metric.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Metric over metaphorical.
That's so much cardboard.
All right.
But no, I found a game shop, Plus One Gaming, over in Metairie, and they're just awesome. Met a lot of good people there.
They're just great. They're just the best.
They're fast. I know some people
Tremendous.
Now.
Bigly.
They're
okay.
huge.
Go ahead.
Actually, speaking of that, one of the games we played was Hidden Hitler.
Oh yeah, that's a good game.
Or
is that the one where one of you is Hitler and the
yeah,
other one?
You have Hitler. Well, someone's Hitler, and then there's fascists, and then there's liberals, and
right.
trying to figure out who Hitler is.
It's just
fascists.
Like what's that game? There's like three or four games that are like that.
The genre is a hidden person game.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
So played that one. That one stood out. Also, Game of Thrones, the board game, was that was the face I made when someone brought it up.
What do you do? I just drink and I know things, you know, and you just play board games and that's all you do.
Well, I did. I made myself an alternative goal whenever
right.
I realized I wasn't going to win the game. It's kind of like Risk, but it's not like they just took Westeros and stamped it on a Risk board.
Okay, they do with Monopoly.
It's not that. And there is also a Game of Thrones Risk. By the way.
Oh, okay, so
but that's not this.
Which is exactly
it's
what
exactly
you just described.
Risk. Yeah. But that's not what this is. There's a whole bunch of other elements. It's really it's great. But
it's
my objective, I was Lannister, and eventually I realized I'm not going to win.
Did you have debts? And then did you pay all of your debts?
I did pay all of my debts.
All
and
right.
I had all of the gold in the game.
Okay.
So, and that was one thing actually that I noticed about this is the game design is so well done that the different families play as they would
in Westeros.
The Starks
were scrappy,
Targaryens yeah, like the Starks would get a ton of territory, but it was all a frozen, barren wasteland with no resources.
Right.
So I did make my alternate goal to go pee off the wall.
Okay.
And I took Winterfell.
Is this like a tabletop sort of D&D-esque game where...
Kind of. It's a board game.
Okay.
So
you put it on
table,
I guess.
You have a map of Westeros, and so yeah, that one was really fun. And there was one
map of the rest of Westeros.
The rest. You don't have the other side. I wonder if they're ever going to add that.
A DLC, an expansion pack.
They do that to board games, man.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, okay.
I was saying it because that's what they do.
Okay.
You can't tell, but it's not DLC. I've got a grin on my face right now.
I don't know. I don't know what's going through his head ever.
DLC.
You know? Okay. And the last one that really stood out to me was Mystic Veil, which is a card builder about farming. And that sounds terrible.
I don't know that sounds like it's not a good game. I mean,
it's an amazing game, and the artwork is beautiful. It's interesting because it's not you. Wow, I cannot talk tonight.
That's all right, go ahead.
You know what a deck builder is, right?
Yeah.
So you have all these cards, and then each round you get to buy cards and add them to your deck, and you reshuffle and keep playing. This one is interesting because you have the main cards, which are just usually they're like blank or they have lands on them, mm-hmm. and then you get other cards that slot into them. So you build each card, and then also build the deck.
Okay, so you sort of like you might be able to get modifiers for
cards
that you
then enhance
into the modifier.
So it's a very fun game, beautiful artwork there.
Very cool.
So that's pretty.
You're
much
describing
what I've been
it, and I'm just kind of like, is this like Harvest Moon or like Stardew Valley, the card game? Like I don't know. Which I think if they don't make a card game in a Stardew Valley, I feel like they should.
So yeah, I spent a lot of time at Plus One, and of course, Second and Charles, my second home now.
Right. Yeah.
And I turned in my Wii U to Second and Charles.
Why?
Because the only game I own for it is Splatoon, and I've never got unsalty about it.
So, all right, minor. Were you done?
I'm done.
All right, minor tangent before I talk about, because we have a little bit of time in this segment. So Zelda, Breath of the Wild came out on Wii U and on Switch, and you know, objectively, they're the same game on either console. And I haven't played Zelda, but I plan on doing
it. I have Ocarina of Time I've been playing through.
No, I mean Breath of the Wild. Right. Like, exclusively Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, that's where I'm at in Zelda
universe. I listen to Kotaku Split Screen and Nerdist and a bunch of gaming podcasts.
I've been watching on the Game Grumps play.
I don't want to watch any. I don't want any part of the game. But I'm hearing people talk in a no-spoilerous sort of way about Zelda, and I'm hearing that it's a magical, enchanting, inspired experience that makes you or will make you certainly rethink if you have any hatred or any ill will or any bad thoughts towards Nintendo, maybe over the Wii U or the Wii or whatever game thing you didn't like that Nintendo did. It will make you be a kid again. It'll certainly push you in that direction. That's what I've heard. It is an enchanting, magical, almost like Disney in a console sort of experience. And that's just Zelda.
Right.
So, you know, whomever, I can't remember the Anomia or Anomine or whatever his name was, who I'm butchering that name.
Wow.
But the director and the creator of that's not going to be the only game he makes. And that's not going to be the only game that team makes. But so with that in mind, and you want to play Zelda because you voiced your intentions
again,
of playing Zelda.
My current plan is I'm going to get the Switch for Splatoon 2 when it releases.
How much how much money did you get for the Wii U? Because they're currently $350, even though the Switch is only $300.
Right. I got just under $200, I think.
Okay, so that's not a bad trade-in value. You had the Wii U for three years.
That's
you had it for long.
I had it for since Splatoon released.
Okay, so
there you go.
3 years, I think, 4 years.
However long that is.
Maybe. Not
because I was hyped for Splatoon.
You certainly held its value more than a vehicle did. So
yes.
That's good.
Yeah, wow. Let's not talk about that.
Wow, so yeah, I also plan on getting a Switch. We will, at that point, not be able to share street passes or whatever. I don't know how we're going to be friends in the Switchiverse. Nintendo
has so far been very bad about friending and stuff.
Well, they've been.
Have you ever had to type in a friend code?
No, I've never had to type in a friend code. The issue that I have with that, and it's sort of like we're about to jump back on what I did, but the issue that I take with that is that it's not like it's uncharted territory. There's so many
their online store.
Well, what I'm thinking about. Like, why do you have to, don't try to innovate something that very clearly works. I'm not saying don't make better, different new games and experiences with those games, but certainly when something's working, like a social community hub, like don't try to reinvent it and do something really archaic or really crazy off the wall whenever people very clearly are like, that doesn't work. And then they're like, oh, that didn't work. Let's completely do something else. Let's try this other thing. And then when it does work, like Street Pass, you take it away. why would you take it away?
Yeah, I honestly don't know why the Switch doesn't have Street Pass. But to me, Nintendo's weakest point is their digital content management.
The weakest link is not Zelda, right?
I get it because it's
associative words.
Oh my God, that's funny. No, is there just... their digital management of content, social and purchases. Because, by the way, digital purchases, if you don't know, are tied to your device.
Oh, yeah, they're hardware-based.
So it's
which is crazy. There's insane. No profile to it. So
I mean, Steam exists. I'm just saying.
I have been spending not a ridiculous amount of time because I haven't had a lot of time to do this. I've been working a lot, but I've been spending a lot of time playing Mass Effect Andromeda. So much so that I'm recording everything that that I did, except that I played this morning.
I swear I'm going to play three.
I woke up this morning. Typically, I'd wake up in the morning and I play like an hour before I go to work, and then I would come home and then I would do whatever I need to do chore wise, and then I'd play until I got tired and I'd go to sleep, and then I would do that thing, do that cycle, and I'd record the entire thing. But I found out that OBS, for whatever reason, took extra long to save my recording this previous playthrough this morning. So about an hour of recording's gone. So I'll have to go back to the save file and just replay that hour. I don't mind doing that because it's always nice to, there's no discovery, but it kind of goes quicker. So like I don't have to go over there. I know that there's no containers over there. And thankfully, I was at a very much like a, this is exactly where the save point was. I'm playing a lot of Andromeda and I am...
What are your opinions on
I'm
it?
Taking well there's going to be
I've a, seen opinions th-
there's
going to
be
internet.
A review over the weekend, I think, of
I can't wait for it.
It's going to be a written review probably because I don't want to take the time to edit
to use
a video
my
right now
to follow symbols on paper.
The issues that I have with
digital
it are
things.
I've definitely experienced some straight out glitches, some bugs, some problems, some game breaking sort of mechanical problems with the game that are just I don't know if it's an effort of maybe they weren't ready to use the Frostbite engine. Maybe that's an EA thing. EA said, you have to use the Frostbite engine. You can't use the Unreal engine.
This sounds like a very corporate kind of issue.
It seems like, we built Battlefield on the Frostbite engine, and we did this other thing on the Frostbite engine. Now you're going to do this on the Frostbite engine. It might be.
I don't know what's going on over there, but that's what it sounds like.
It might be the fact that the game's not bad. Like I think people are giving it a bad rap because they wanted...
How is the story?
Well, I'm not going to spoil anything for the story,
how is it? Is it going in a good direction, or is it just crap writing?
It's subjective. I don't think it's crap writing. It's definitely... It seems like it prioritized some things over other things, and I get you have to do that. But, like, it seems like I'm immediately able to be in, like, Alien Sex Simulator. Like, I'm immediately there. I can show up, and within two or three dialogue, like, interactions or experiences with a character, I get the little contextual big heart that allows me to begin flirting with them and saying a nice thing. And then trying things on for size, like, is my character build going to be compatible with their character build? You know, XYZ type stuff. I don't remember doing that in Mass Effect. Certainly not Mass Effect 1. Maybe in Mass Effect 2, I was too into the actual, like, getting back on my feet storyline.
There was always the underlying love interest. But
right, but I don't
it
know.
Took most of the game, I felt.
I don't know that it was immediate, right?
I think it took most of the game.
Now I feel like there's this expectation since Mass Effect had these. Maybe it wasn't the first, certainly, but it was one of the biggest game series to deal with intimacy in a video game setting. Right. That was sort of a thing, a very Mass Effect thing to start doing. Like, yeah, okay, God of War may have had nudity, and other games may have had sex, but this was dealing more with
relationships.
They shied away from it. They cut the wipe. They did the blanket thing where it's an L-shaped blanket for some reason on every bed, and the guy has the short end of the L, you know? So it was interesting that we got more intimacy. I mean that in the legitimate, like there was a connection or you felt like there was a connection, and you not only was there like a linear connection or anything, there was no linear connection. There was a guided connection. You forced Shepard into doing what you wanted and it working or not working. You know, you became friends with Garrus or more, you know, you did or you more. That or more. Apparently there's a big thing about why women want Garrus so bad.
Garrus is the best
Garrus
character.
Garrus is a bro, right? Garrus
is
super
absolute
good.
Objectively best character in this entire series.
He is a really good character. So as far as the story's concerned, I like the story for what it is right now, but it's not like it's not treading any new ground. Objectively, it's in a completely different universe. We can redo the same thing. Like, it's okay when people reuse the same concepts. Star Wars did it very recently, and it was incredibly successful. It was better than the originals, at least. You know, 1, 2, and 3, at least. When I say originals, the 1, 2, and 3.
1, 2, and 3, or 4, 5, and 6?
No, 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, okay.
you know, so I feel like it's not wrong to want to retread and sort of recapture some of that magic. I feel like the animation things are probably a product of this automated system of keyframing and, you know, puppeteering with, because yeah. I mean, again, for the hundreds of hours of dialogue that are in this game, I can't imagine somebody took hands-on approach with all of the dialogue, right? They maybe just kind of tweaked the big interactions, the ones that really matter, the ones that they showed at E3 or the big, you know, things. Otherwise, I feel it probably was left up to an automated system that got the rig, got the puppet, got the character, got the words, got the audio, looked at the peaks, and then figured out how to make the mouth go flap.
I like
flap,
how you're
flap.
Animating this.
Yeah, well, it's something that I think people think about. Like whenever it's a movie, and the movie's only 2 hours long, you've got a lot more dedication to those 2 hours of CG or those 2 hours of this or that. Right. That's why Marvel movies look amazing. They would not look that good if it was a 26 episode series throughout 3 months or 4 months.
Well, no, they don't look at Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right. That's why Iron Man's not in every episode or any of them. You know, it's right. That's why. So the dedication, I feel, people are freaking out about the animations. Yeah, some of them legitimately are weird, and I've experienced weird things where it's like PB is the Asari, the effect of the Alara, or not the Asari sort of potential love interest for the Asari. Mm-hmm. She like leans backwards on a rail, so she's like she's sticking her butt on the rail the wrong way when she should be leaning on her elbows. So she's like her elbows are leaning on nothing. And then whenever you go and talk to her, she turns around and then like turns around again. It's like weird because the rigging's all messed up. I've had the game straight up bug out and I can't do anything during a boss fight where it's like the boss fight cinematic's supposed to play and instead it just freezes. I've had the game say tampering.
And you have a brand new computer, so it's not your
system. Oh, no. It's purely the game you know, freaking out. I've had it go where it says tampering is detected and it shuts down.
Oh, that's...
You know,
sucks.
like I'm running some third party sort of
you
hack.
Know the nice thing about board games,
they don't
disconnect.
That. No, but as far as the world that they're building and the characters, I've had some legitimately awesome interactions with the game or with characters in the game, and I don't feel like it's been forced. I feel like it's been very natural and it's been good. So, I've done a lot more than just Mass Effect, but that kind of rambled for a little bit. We're going to cut to three songs, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about some of the news of the week and some of the news coming down. This is Michael Jump In by No More Kings, the Bed Intruder song by Smoyoho, because we haven't played that in a long time.
Oh, wow.
And the Ballad of Barry Allen by Jim's Big Ego, because that Justice League trailer. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You've been listening to Experience Points exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU, still Experience Points. I'm still MG.
I'm still Red Bear.
That was the Ballad of Barry Allen by Jim's Big Ego. Before that, Bed Intruder Song by Shmoyoho, and Michael Jump In
fun to say.
By No More Kings. You know, that song, Bed Intruder is such a dank may sort of thing that happened.
I know it's meme.
I just say may because it's fun.
It is fun.
But that's legitimately like a terrifying experience to have somebody like try to like get in your house and mess
right.
with you and do stuff. So like if you're one of those guys, don't do that. Or if one of those girls, don't do that. That's messed up,
just
man.
Don't do it.
That's messed up. God, let's start this segment with games that are coming out soon.
Ooh,
at least games that we care about.
Are you going to tell me what to care about?
No.
Because I can't make my own decisions.
Today, we're recording this on the 28th, so it's on Tuesday. But today, I know you started playing Kingdom Hearts. For
yes.
PlayStation 2.
Yes.
Well, Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 and 2.5 Remix. 2.8's already out for PS4, which don't get me started on the numbering schema. But 1.5 and 2.5 combined are going to be released today, which is yesterday for everyone hearing this.
Right now.
Or in the past if you heard it on the show.
Time traveling.
On the site. March 28th for PlayStation 4. There's no excuse why you shouldn't be looking forward to this, because if you haven't played Kingdom Hearts, just let me level with you.
It's surprisingly good.
Like, it's one of those games where I have fond memories of it, like growing up. Not like Illusions of Gaia, Link to the Past fond memories, but it's different, right? It's a different set of fond memories. It's a different category all by itself. It's such a good.
Well, like, I don't have those memories because I only recently played
it. It's convoluted. I'm not going to pretend the storyline makes any sense. It's just, but it's good. It's just, but it's good.
But it's
that's
good.
All I can say.
Did it, you have fun playing
that's
it?
That's all I can say. It's just, but it's good. It? I did, yeah.
Yeah,
did
that's what matters, see?
I did have fun playing this other thing, though. I never actually owned the real game. I owned a PlayStation Underground demo disc that had two levels of this game on there, which and that's enough. This? It's Parappa the Rappa.
I did not.
Parappa the Rappa remastered. PlayStation 4 also comes out March 28th.
I was hoping you were going to say Cool Borders.
No, Cool Borders. I did have the demo disc for Cool Borders.
Dude, everyone had that demo. It was.
That was the best demo disc ever. Moving on, games that we, or you should be looking forward to at least, April the 4th, Persona 5 for PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 3.
Right.
This is, I bring this up, one, because I've never played a Persona game, ever.
I haven't either. I have a friend, Gary, who is super into Persona.
I've been told, you should play Shin Megami Tensei or whatever, and then you should also play Persona. And I go, well, there's a lot of games, and I just want to play all those games, and I want to go in the backlog of Persona.
The
there's so many games, I only got so
I
much life.
You know, games.
So Persona 5 is coming out for PS4 and for PS3 on the 4th. Think about that.
Wow,
PS4 and PS3. Right? They're still getting PS3 games. Now,
Sony's being a bro.
Objectively, this may be the last PS3 game. I think the last PlayStation 2 game was made in like 2007 or something, and it was a soccer game. Like just, you know, same engine,
right,
but a different, you know, team stats or whatever. I like thinking about things like that because the PlayStation 3, I wouldn't say it's an old console. I would certainly say it's not as new as like PlayStation 4, Switch, or anything
right.
that, Xbox One. But it's still like there are still really relevant games, I feel, on it. You know, we got Grand Theft Auto 4 on it. We got, did we get Grand Theft Auto 5 on it? I can't remember. I think we did.
Yeah, we did.
Maybe.
I think that was,
We certainly got some of the, we got Kingdom Hearts Remixed.
Did.
We got a ton of really good games, Beyond Two Souls. We got just a bunch of games on it that were really, really good. I still have mine because they haven't made all these games forward compatible. Again, Kingdom Hearts, I own both 1.5 and 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
I think I recently bought 2.5 to replay it, and I don't know why I did that because I've already played them. I have a PlayStation 2 with the game as well, so I don't know why I did that, but that's coming out.
I really like Kingdom Hearts.
I really like Kingdom Hearts. I'm probably going to go buy 1.5, 2.5, and 2.8 eventually.
That's great.
Even though the mobile stuff, I could give a crap less. I don't really care about the mobile stuff. I don't need to know Dream Drop whatever and 365 over 2. I don't that's whatever. I don't need to do any of that. The mobile game where it's just like we're going to tell you the story. I'm pretty sure the story doesn't matter, and you could try to tell me, I could try to read it. I'm sure there's a flow chart. It doesn't make any sense. It's just about as convoluted as the Zelda storyline, okay? So, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, just play Zelda, you'll get it. Look at the 20th anniversary book of Zelda.
Right.
It's a very nice book. The chronology though, like the actual like canon chronology.
Yeah.
It's just
good
insanity,
luck.
Really insanity.
Watch Primer, you'll have a better time.
Maybe. And then, of course, on the 7th, we get Bulletstorm, full clip edition for Xbox One, PS4, and PC. These are awesome games because Bulletstorm is just this tongue-in-cheek, really funny, you get like super mega death kills. It's just a game. It's a game that every 14-year-old boy and foul-mouthed girl wants to play.
And foul-mouthed girl.
Yep. Now, I was talking about keeping around old consoles because...
Right. I have a PlayStation 1 still. Actually, was it called the PlayStation X or the 1? I always got that backwards.
It was a PS1.
It was the original.
No, it was a PSX.
Big gray.
That was a PSX.
Because I had this argument the other
PSX,
day. PSX. Had the big gray.
And then there was a PS1, and their PSX got redeployed sort of reintroduced in Japan as sort of a different sort of thing, like I'll have to look it up, but it was a different thing. You got the one with a serial port on the back.
Yeah,
you can connect it to another one and do all that cool
stuff. I did that once with some game.
Probably like Wipeout.
I want to say it was like Duke Nukem.
Maybe. I know they had Duke Nukem where you were a third person Duke Nukem and you can connect it to another
scene. Yeah, I think
it was Land of Babes or Manhattan
something.
Project or something.
Anyway, that's the Wayback Machine.
I brought up earlier that, you know, they're forward compatibility in so many of these games, right? Bulletstorm. That was released on PS3, I think, on PC a while back, and now they're doing the full clip edition, which is just extra stuff, new textures, crazy new stuff. I think Steve Bloom does the audio, so Spike Spiegel from Cowboy Bebop.
Nice.
Amongst every other character in the world. He does pretty much everything. But anyway, the Kingdom Hearts and all these things, they're making them forward compatible. The thing that we really need to watch out for is, what about those games that don't necessarily, they're not old, like Kingdom Hearts is a PlayStation 2 game.
Right.
And then there were also parts of the series that weren't even on like a console, right? They were or weren't on like an actual physical console that wasn't like mobile, like an immobile console. Okay. It was on like a phone, or it was on an Android device, or it was on a 3DS or something. So making a compilation or a remix of those games makes sense. New textures because it's PlayStation right. 2, and then bring in the mobile games. But what about those games that like they're not that old? They're only Xbox 360 old, or maybe they're only Xbox One, Xbox original old, and they're not so old where we need to remake them. Or
I don't
or,
know. Go back and play the original Halo.
Well, I've actually been doing some of that.
oh yeah, that's right.
I've been doing it for the anniversary collection, and it is frustratingly bland, and everything is just gray blocks and green blocks and smudged and everything.
I really want to see this.
It's really frustrating. So but think about Halo Reach. Halo Reach is a game right. that looks great on the 360.
Yes.
They didn't remake it or remix it or HDify it in the Anniversary Collection or in the Master Chief Collection. It mm-hmm. didn't contain Master Chief, but instead of just making a Halo collection that had all of them together.
Right.
And they may do that. I'm not saying they won't, but they may do that. But they didn't. And that's because Halo Reach was just almost brand new. It was still, it wasn't old yet. Mm-hmm. And there's a tons of these games that were released for the 360 that I feel fall into that category of, well, the 360 was only the previous generation.
Right.
Like, it wasn't the before previous generation or the before previous generation. So these games still have some life to them. And recently an Army of Two was released as a new backwards compatible sort of game, and then there was also like some weird solitaire game.
Ooh, I need HD remix of solitaire.
Right, it was a Sultrio solitaire, which I was like, what? But I went through the Xbox One, Xbox 360 backwards compatibility list, and I sort of like highlighted some of my favorite games I think some of them are your favorite games. I know Fallout 3 is in there. Fallout New Vegas is in there. Ooh. And those are games that
Fallout New Vegas was really
that
good.
We're not going to. I believe that New Vegas may have been better.
I like
than three.
I love no objectively. Okay, subjectively.
Well.
In my correct opinion,
I don't know how we're using those words, right?
No, I totally am.
But yeah, so Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas were 360 titles that can be played on the Xbox One. And that backwards compatibility isn't 100% great, because Halo Reach, when it came out, suffered from extreme frame rate drops and weird issues. That's what you get when you get emulation. Because it is emulation. It's not like the PlayStation 2, which had the engine for the PlayStation 1.
Like, literally had a PlayStation 1 in it.
Or the PlayStation 3, which had the Emotion engine, which effectively was the real PlayStation 2. You know, that's hardware that's doing double duty. But no, all of the Assassin's Creed, so Assassin's Creed 1, 2, Revelations, and Rogue. Banjo-Kazooie, Nuts and Bolts, and Banjo-Tooie.
Awesome.
I actually got the Rare replay, the 30th anniversary of Rare thing, and Banjo-Kazooie, as well as Perfect Dark and Perfect Dark Zero, which are all for the 360 that could be purchased online. I actually did buy Perfect Dark for the 360, and now I have it again via Rare replay, are all playable. The Gears of War, so 1, 2, 3, and Judgment, are all available via backwards compatibility. Forza Horizon, which the Forza series is a fantastic
Forza's
racer.
Great. Yeah.
I don't even like racing games, and I can understand that like the appeal and the draw to these games because
but
they look
they put so
good.
Much dedication to Forza.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, the detail is insane.
They had two new games. On some tracks, like I clearly know that I'm looking at a game. But it was damn close. I mean, it was super, super close. And that's just a testament to how good these games are made now. Fable 2 and Fable 3, the much underappreciated Rage, though I can understand why it was underappreciated. Mm-hmm. The entire Bioshock collection.
I love that game.
So do Rage. I. It's 60 gigs. I never downloaded it.
It
suffers from texture pop-in really, really badly. And I feel like, this is what they had to do before they made Doom, so it's a step in the right direction, but like the new Doom.
Right.
But it's definitely not worth my time right now. But yeah, Bioshock 2, Bioshock 1, Bioshock 2, Bioshock Infinite, both of the Borderlands 1 and 2. Bully, which is the Scholarship Edition, which was a PlayStation 2 game that I think they made for the 360 because they didn't make it for the Xbox. Maybe I'm misremembering that.
I have no idea. Red Dead Redemption,
which is fantastic.
Yes.
Halo Reach. Ikaruga, which is one of my favorites from arcade and from Dreamcast. I only owned the Japanese version of the game.
I wonder where my Dreamcast is.
I don't know. Jet Set Radio, which is another great
now
game.
Now I'm excited.
Left 4 Dead 1 and 2.
That's coming out on what system
it's
now?
It's backwards compatible.
On what system?
On Xbox One, but it's the Xbox 360 version. And then the entire Mass Effect lineup, so 1, 2, and 3. So you can play Mass Effect on your Xbox One, technically, by playing it on the Xbox 360. And there's tons more. There's Elder Scrolls 4, Oblivion, Earthworm Jim HD, and XCOM, and Wolfenstein 3D,
XCOM.
And N+, a bunch of other stuff. So really cool that we're getting backwards compatibility. Moving, because, you know, you're breathing life into these consoles, and it's so good to do that.
Having
it feels
gaming
really
library
good.
Is important for a gaming console.
That's it. That you don't want to abandon your gaming library. Real quick, another news, and we're going to talk about our big one, is Final Fantasy 14, the second MMO. Final Fantasy XIV, Ziv. Had a free trial, just like most MMOs start with a free trial. It was a 2-week free trial. Now, no countdown clock. They took away the 14-day trial. You can level all the way up to 35 out of currently 60, but soon after the new expansion drops to 70, you can level literally halfway through the entire game.
Before paying for it.
Before having to pay for it.
Okay.
You can do that as many times as you want. You don't have to create any new accounts. You can just play up until 35, take your time, see everything you need to see. It's very, very cool. In 2010, when it launched, it didn't do very well.
No.
And at some point between now and then...
To the point that they withdrew it and restarted it.
Yeah, they restarted it. They fired the leadership. They restarted it and relaunched it. And it's turned into a pretty good MMO now.
Oh, that's good.
In June, Stormblood, the second expansion for the game, is going to drop. And at that point, it's going to do new classes, new areas to explore, yada, yada, yada. Just basic expansion stuff for MMOs.
Right.
The PS3 version, which is still supported up until now, will stop being supported. So it'll just be the PC and the PS4.
Okay. But I mean, that's been since, 2010, you said?
Yeah, since 2010. So no Xbox love, but PC and PS4. It's not the only one that not giving any Xbox love. So just be realistic. And then to end out this segment...
what we got?
We have some pretty big news, right?
I'm ready for
so
it. I don't know it.
Blizzard said that they're going to remaster StarCraft. They're going to remaster StarCraft and Brood War. They're going to bring the entire thing up to 4K resolution, different audio, better matchmaking, LAN support, Battle.net support. This summer. It's going to be great. We don't have a good release date, but it's going to be in the summer.
Okay.
And we don't know how much it's going to cost. But right after they made this announcement, like within a day or two of making this announcement, they said, we're going to get the original game, the existing version with Brood War, and we're going to give it away for free. We're going to get some patches. We're going to let you rebind keys, put you in observer mode, do some anti-cheat modernizations, and we're going to improve 7, 8.1, and Windows 10 compatibility. But when we do that, you're going to have the entire anthology, base game, Brood War expansion, as a free download. You can go to the website.
That's
you can
awesome.
Find the free apps. And they did this with some of their older games, but they're doing it with StarCraft, which is such a legacy of a game series. I love it. So.
No, it really is. I swear, Blizzard goes back and forth on my jerks to awesome radar. Every other announcement is, well, you're complete jerks, or, oh my gosh, y'all are so sweet.
Y'all are so great. We're going to cut to a song, come back, and then we're going to end up the show. This is Kingdom Hearts by Play a Video Game Symphony. See how we tied Kingdom Hearts in yet again? It works in threes.
So creative.
Works in threes. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
This is Experience Points. You're hearing this exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU, still Experience Points. I'm still MG.
I'm still Red Bear.
But not for much. I mean, we're going to be us for much longer.
Hopefully
much longer, but the show is coming
unless
to an end.
Unless respawns are a thing.
We just heard Kingdom Hearts by Play, a Video Game Symphony. Again, Kingdom
Ooh,
Hearts,
swapper.
Good series, coming out today, tomorrow for you. Actually, it's yesterday for you.
Math, it's hard.
We're speaking to the future. Hello, future. We are out of time, but we do have a website where all of this audio will be cut, cropped, and uploaded. We'll have our news, reviews, anything with Mass Effect or Andromeda is going to be there. Bear, what is the website?
You can go to exppoints.com. Remember to double tap the P.
Awesome. Well, you know, we say exppoints.com all the time, but that's actually our landing page for all of our sites on the platform.
Right.
So
there's other things.
Download all of our
sites.
You
can click all the buttons.
Download all the entire internet. If you want to get our social media, and this is for the radio show, it's at exppoints.com/social. That's Facebook, Twitter, Google+, YouTube, Steam community, bunch of stuff there. We're also also streamable on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as Spotify and Google Play Music podcast services, or just the website if you want. I'm sure we've been copied around the entire internet. We're worldwide now. Nationwide, worldwide.
Well, it is on the World Wide Web.
We are in the worldwide. We're probably accessible on the space station. I don't know that's untrue. I don't know how much internet they have. They're closer to the space where the satellites are.
Right. So I'm actually curious about that because they do live stream constantly.
I wonder if we asked, could you play us on the space station? Would they? They're pretty good about humoring people, I think. Let's say one thing. We're going to end on a Proto Men song because you know who we are.
Yeah.
And this is going to be The City Made Us by the Proto Men.
Oh, that's actually one of my favorites.
If you haven't seen the Light Up the Night 16-minute video, it's really good. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've been doing. You were sick for a little bit, and then you kind of peaced out, and then we didn't have a show for 2 weeks. But, I mean, now you're back. Light Up the Night. Everyone else that I'm speaking to right now. Light Up the Night, 16-minute short video. Go to theprotomen.com or protomen.com or just Google Proto Men. Go to their website. Click on the thing. You can watch it for free on YouTube or Vimeo or whatever the hell they posted it on. Really, really good. Make sure it's in HD. Make sure if you can download it, because you don't want to wait for that stuff to buffer. Right. You want to see it. It wants to be good. Make sure you wear headphones or you have good studio monitors. You need good sound with
all
this.
All of these things.
That's why the Proto Men are there. They're coming to New Orleans May 25th out Southport Music Hall in New Orleans.
Ooh.
If you are interested, go there. I'm going to try to go there.
Right.
I mean,
I think I might.
It's May 25th. I think, you know what? I don't know that I'm doing my hair that day. I'll go.
Who knows? I'm busy.
But I'll
May 25th, Proto Men.
The City Made Us by the Proto Men. We're going to catch you next Wednesday from 9 to 10. Hopefully, it's actually next Wednesday from 9 to 10.
Right.
I'm not a liar. Check out the website.
We'll try. Aim at it.
I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
Thanks for listening to us on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU. Yeah.